7040 sub 2 BM, and creating 7014 1L 7021 8W 20S, and repealing 7021 6 17 and 17 M.
Oh my God.
I missed that, Chief. Could you say that again?
Chief, I were in trial court. I'd say, could you read the record back, please? But I'm not. Okay. So we have one presenter, and that is Judge Skarowski.
Good morning again, justices, colleagues. We've had a long morning. I know that much of this has been documented. The only thing that I wanted to say to begin with is to emphasize that the changes being recommended here emanate from a committee of chief judges creation, the Supreme Court Rules Trial Court Administration Subcommittee. That subcommittee had members from a cross-section of chief judges, district court administrators, court operations staff. They met for the course of, I think, 5 months. And the subcommittee discussed various changes, of course, to rules, the Supreme Court Rule Chapter 70, and that includes the Planning and Policy Advisor Committee membership, the translation of court forms by interpreters, the Director of State Court's ability to extend the period specified in SCR 70.361A for submitting a matter for decision, and the Committee of Chief Judges approved the subcommittee's recommendations, and of course that is what prompted their presentation to the Director of State Court's office, and the Director of State Court's office then brought them to you, of course. So we are here based on that procedural history. I do not want to belabor the request, as I said, so I will just ask if there are any questions or comments, or if there's anything else I can provide in terms of information.
Can you walk us?
Go ahead.
Please, Chief.
I don't have questions really about anything other than that form that judges the certification of status of pending cases for circuit court judges, where they fill it out saying, I don't have any cases over 90 days. They sign it and then submit it. And there can be extensions. But that's, I think, primarily addressed in maybe Section 24 of your petition and also Rule 7036.1B, where it says, in the exercise of its superintending and administrative authority over all courts and upon written request from a chief judge, the Supreme Court may extend those periods. It says more than that, but that's kind of short form. So I don't think there's a conflict or a problem for this court to do it. I'm trying to figure out how it works, because when I look at the form, I think they're supposed to submit this to the chief judge. But the form each month gets submitted to, it says, Office of Court Operations, which I think is part of your office. So I'm trying to figure out, A, how it works, and B, how the court continues its role in approving extensions or not. So can you help me with the logistics of how this really works?
Yeah.
Because the rule says it's submitted to the chief judge. The form is submitted, it looks like, to Office of Court Operations. And there seems to be sort of a disconnect in the reality of how this works versus what the rules say versus what you're asking for versus the court's obligation to exercise superintending and administrative authority.
Thank you for that question. Under 7036, sub 1, sub A, every judge of a circuit court shall decide each matter within 90 days, of course, The form used to be by paper, and we used to have to fax it in.
It still does, I think. It still says I'm submitting via facsimile to 608-267-0911.
A facsimile.
A fax.
Well, our dear friends at CCAP created an electronic way to do this on the dashboard, which makes it much, much easier. My understanding is that there may be only two or three judges remaining in the state who rely on fax, but that we have allowed that to continue. We are just phasing it out based on their comfort level. So the form is one that is filled out by each judge individually, be it on their dashboard or on paper. It is then submitted to the our office, right? The court operations folks specifically. And as I read 70.36, that is correct and accurate. That initial certification does not go to the chief judge. That initial certification comes to the director of state court's office because it is an administrative function. However, if a judge is unable to do so within 5 days of the expiration of the 90-day period, the judge shall so certify in the record of the matter and notify in writing the chief judge. That, I think, is where the notification of the chief judge comes in, and that becomes an automatic, if you will, extension for one additional period of 90 days, because it, as I read 70.36, the chief judge does not get to make a decision on this. It is just an extension.
Before we go on from that, I just want to clarify one thing. So I'm a circuit court judge. I'm complying with the 90-day rule. I fill out the form that the chief has in front of her. I, thanks to the dashboard it in, and it goes to you. I send it in to you on the dashboard.
Yes, the okay. Royal me.
The royal, yes. Yeah, the royal.
And if you're not complying,
same form. You're not right. So if you're not complying, you also indicate that on the form and notify the chief judge of your judicial district.
And that's what it says on the form currently.
Okay. So you get the form whether or not someone is complying. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. And the chief judge doesn't do anything. The chief judge is just a recipient of any of those forms where someone is not complying with the 90-day rule.
Not quite. Under the rule, in the exercise of this court superintending an administrative authority over all courts and upon written request from a chief judge, the Supreme Court may extend the period, the 90-day period.
That's my question, Chief. Do you get one 90-day period for free? And
yes.
Then sub B, ask, so you get you get 180 days for free. Mm-hmm. You get a second 90 days.
If you have a matter that's waiting beyond 90 days of the date in which it was submitted in final form, you have to check that box in here, and it has to be done within 5 days of the expiration of, it looks like, the 90-day period. And then you have to certify one of two things. No such matter is pending more than 180 days after final submission, or B, one or more matters are pending for more than 180 days after submission, and then you have to list the case number, and the date it was submitted for decision. So, I mean, I think the way we want it to work is judges don't have any matters awaiting decision beyond 90 days. But if they do, I mean, if somehow they sign this and say nothing's beyond 90 days, but then the next month they're signing this and they have something that is beyond that 90 days but isn't quite to, it could be more than 180 days, but then they have to check this, and that's when the Supreme Court gets involved saying, okay, it's the supervisory authority of the court to make sure the cases are timely decided.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I'm just, this perhaps isn't the model of clarity, and I'm just trying to understand if you get a free 90-day extension or not.
Sounds like 5 days.
That's what I thought. Okay, as long as you do the 5 days.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think some of the problems in the past have been when judges check the I don't have any 90 days, and they really, really do.
Yeah.
So,
does anybody check up on that to determine whether or not the person who's filing it actually doesn't have any?
I mean, the thousands and thousands and thousands of cases.
Yeah, so I mean,
for each judge in the state, no, I don't think anyone does. But the lawyers tend to wonder, where is my decision that's been waiting? And then the lawyers may say to an authority, hey, this has been sitting there for 8 years.
So now that we have,
for example,
I think the lay of the land, the petition calls for the director of state courts then to come in and to give permission to a judge to have the second 90-day extension, as I understand it.
Right.
There is a concern about there's a concern about a conflict that I am having difficulty wrapping my mind around.
I don't think there is one. Sorry, but
let
I don't
me,
see
let
it.
Let me help you.
Thank
wrap
you.
Your,
help me wrap my mind.
I'm not sure I see a big conflict either, but as I understand it, this is the only significant substantive change to what we had before us, and a perceived conflict of interest. And the perceived conflict of interest, as I understand it, is vis-a-vis when the court has to discipline someone with regard to this provision. And we've had to do it in Washington County before you were there, but you probably remember or know we had a judge who had some difficulty with this. And so it was the subject of discipline. So so that's the perceived, as I understand it, that's the perceived conflict.
It's
a matter that could come before us.
I understand that, but if we, I mean, at some point we would have to decide that there was a matter of exigency, I assume. So what difference does it make if we've done that on the front end or the back end? We're still having to make a determination?
I wouldn't relegate, I mean, to be perfectly honest and respectfully, I wouldn't relegate that to the director's office. I have to tell you, though, I don't think I've seen one of these in 4 years.
Okay, I haven't seen since I've been on the court, certainly. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sort of...
No, what I can tell you is the chief judges felt it was important, and they felt that it was... I think they felt that they were removing an unnecessary administrative duty from the justices. And I do not feel strongly about it. So if you wish to sever that from the request, this is not the hill I will die on.
I just don't know how often chief judges are doing this if I haven't seen one in 4 years. Have you seen any in your time here?
We were discussing that, and we have not.
I think the occasion more likely arises when someone wrongfully fills out the form, and then that becomes the subject of another jurisdiction.
I am unaware of any numbers in terms of exigent circumstance determinations that have been made by this court.
Okay. But you are also asking, were you not, that the parties be notified when that decision is outstanding, because the rule doesn't currently require notice to the chief judge and the parties.
There is a trial court administration rule 14 that requires the parties are notified in writing when the period of time to decide the matter has been extended for an additional 90-day period. Under the first scenario we discussed, sort of that automatic extension, the proposal then is just to codify in Supreme Court rule this notification procedure that is currently in the trial court administration rule.
Okay. All right. This was the only section I had a question on, and I didn't really see why we needed to make the change. So SCR, I think, didn't you? So just to clarify, 7036-1A would now, you're asking that a requirement be added, and just so we're all on the same page, on the preliminary memo, it's at page 7, that the judge shall inform the parties and, language would be added, the chief judge of his or her inability to comply with the 90-day period.
Yes, and we would keep that language that says notify in writing so that it tracks the administration rule.
Yeah, I actually have no problem with that because I think the party should probably be on notice that the judge knows this opinion's out there and that they're asking for this dispensation. Okay. Are there any other questions? I know I've taken up a lot of room.
No.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Nothing. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. We then close the hearing on this matter, and it's 2403. It's about noon. We will reconvene at 1:30 for open administrative conference. Thank you.